Cells and Pixels supports other podcasts. Did you know that Latinx are 26% of the total population in Silicon Valley, and yet only a shocking 3% occupy a tech role? Latinx Empower podcast is putting together some of these fearless Latinx leaders to share their beliefs, purpose, and perspectives, highlighting and celebrating the diverse Latin American culture. Access latinxempower.com or look up on your preferred podcast platform.
Your product has to be something that sells, just, you know, so that means the product has to be amazing. UX has to be amazing. Then you probably want to hire a UX designer from the beginning.
My name is Koji, and this is Cells and Pixels. Today, I'm going to talk about being a design manager and growing a team from seed to scale. And I have two people that I'm very happy to have today, two very seasoned design leaders. One is Diego Mendes. He's a product design manager at Facebook. And then Jessica Ko, who's the CEO at Playbook. All right. Thanks to you all for being here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. So let's start with a quick round of introductions. Do you want to take it first, Diego?
Absolutely. I'm Diego. I am a product design manager at Facebook, where I lead a group of designers in the AR/VR team, also known as Facebook Reality Labs, where we're creating kind of the future of computing, if you will. Before that, I worked at Pocket, Chegg and Meebo, which were startups. Pocket was eventually acquired by Mozilla, which makes the Firefox browser. Chegg, we were able to IPO, and Meebo was acquired by Google. So I'm really excited about talking with you about this topic. It should be fun. The most important part about me, though, is that I have two little girls. That's what takes the majority of my time. I also have one little fluffy dog and Kira, who is my wife, and we live here in California.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Jessica. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Playbook.com. We're building the next generation Dropbox, but specifically made for design teams. I've been a designer for almost, 15 plus years now. Started my career at Google, not as a designer, but as, you know, more of a web developer engineer type of role. And then slowly kind of transitioned myself into becoming a UX designer, and then designed a lot of products there. I was there for almost 7 years. And then I moved on to be the founding designer of Opendoor. It's a real estate startup in San Francisco. And I grew the team from basically myself to about 13 people, and then heading the design team there as product design team as well as brand design team. So, and then I sort of took off and did become another founding designer of another startup, but then now I'm doing my own.
Thank you, Jessica. All right. And I actually meet Jessica because we worked together at Google and was a designer back there. And Diego, we actually have, we're from Brazil, both of us. So we kind of met in the design leadership organizations around the Bay Area. And yeah, there we are. And I am a design manager at Lyft. I am the head of design for Lyft Business, which is basically, for those who don't know, Lyft is a ride-sharing company, so provides rides from point A to point B here in the US. And I take care of the Lyft Business part, which is all the companies who want to get rides for their employees, collaborators, they can use Lyft Business as a way to provide rides for them. And you can go to lyftbusiness.com and create a program and share with your the people you care about. Before that, I was at Google for pretty much 9 years. And I also had a startup before that. So I've been here in the US for about 7 years before I was in Brazil. All right, so let's get this started. I think the first question I have in mind, I know that many people that maybe are watching us right now, they have questions about like, oh, how do I actually start a design team? Or how do I should think about design and growing a team? And you all come from very different size companies and have different experiences on startups and big companies. And I know Jessica grew a team at Opendoor and Diego managed the design team at Facebook. What are some of the challenges of the different team sizes that you see?
Yeah, different team sizes, different problem, but it's mostly has to do with communication problems. So as the team grows, there's a communication problem, and then you're constantly managing conflicts. There are different types of conflict. And then you're managing process basically within the design team. And then it gets more and more complex as the team grows. So when you're just like three people in you're the head of design, you're two other designers working with you, the communication is so easy. It's pretty easy up until six or seven people. And then it gets much more complex as the organization grows, and the design team itself grows. Because just the relationships you're managing between marketing team or engineering team or product team, it just exponentially grows at that point. So that's why it gets more and more challenging when it comes to communication. And then that's when you start to put a lot of process down, have a lot more meetings. Even though I'm not a big fan of meetings, you have to have some of these infrastructures in. Otherwise, it tends to fall apart very quickly. So that is probably the biggest challenge the head of design usually has, or founders at a startup.
Yeah, I agree. I think to me that the breakdown in communication that Jessica is describing comes in a breakdown in a common language, right? When you are a small company, there is a very common understanding of common things. Like, for example, when you say high quality, people's general understanding, because you're talking to each other all the time about what a high quality product is and so on, is tied to that small group. But as the team grows and the company scales, when you ask a question like, is this, you know, ready to ship? Is the quality good enough for this to go to market? That answer may vary depending on who you ask that question to. So you need to create that common language and framework across the whole team so everybody's on the same page. And I'm giving the example of quality, but expand that to many other areas. Developing that common language is easier said than done, right? There's a lot of hard work that you need to put into it in defining, your team's values and how the team operates and how the team makes decisions and so on.
I find it fascinating that when you think about small startups, seed stage, Series E, usually people wear many hats. And for designers, what I hear a lot is that designers tend to do like marketing, branding, and then product design and, you know, print design. And once you get to a more mature stage, then all of these different roles that maybe one designer or two designers are playing becomes different sectors of the company. And depending on the stage or depending on how the company wants to grow, branding and product design starts to be a separate organization. So I've seen that, you know, happening with different companies. So that's an interesting note to take here. What about like the turning point when you say, okay, I have three designers, but company is growing and now I might need managers. What does that change your work as you scale up? How do you think like having a manager will make a difference when you're scaling up?
There are two reasons why I tend to start having design managers basically reporting to head of design. It usually has to be these two reasons. Being a head of design is like a very lonely job because you have this like sense of ownership, like culture wise. You want to make sure the culture of design team is great. Like people are having a great time. People are productive and happy. And also this hiring, there's a lot of hiring involves recruiting. So you go out and then be the advocate for your design team and your organization as a whole. But you also want to have that kind of, you want to share that kind of sense of ownership with someone. That's when you started to kind of bring up other managers so that there's some hiring needs that happen. They will go out and then pitch, you know, like they will help you out basically. And another reason is growth, like personal growth related. So I see some really potential, like some designers with this extremely high EQ or somebody who wants to kind of take it their, you know, level to the next level. It's, that's when you start to kind of like, I think you might be really having a, you'll have a great time actually start managing some junior designers, start mentorship. It also gives them a little bit of that kind of change in their career and then satisfaction, job satisfaction, just because it's, everybody just loves teaching, mentoring, and then they like to see people, other people grow. They have that kind of goodness in you know, in them. So that's why I say those are two of probably my top reasons why I like to have design managers in the organization.
Want to include this as a part of the question too, and maybe we can take this, Diego. How do you think the managers will need to play like a coaching role versus like a leadership role? And how do you balance that in a leader capacity?
Yeah. It's a dance, right? When is it that you need to push a designer to do better work versus when you need to encourage a designer who's struggling? When is it that you ask the team, you know, that you empower the team to make decisions, and when is it that you need to make more, to give more direction, right? All of those things are a little bit of a dance, and there isn't, you know, a clear formula for it. But it's important to keep a pulse on how the team is doing and how the team is feeling about that balance, right? The way I think about it is how is it that we amplify the impact of the team? And what's the, you know, what are the decisions that we can make now that will help us build this over the long run? Yeah, it's definitely a balance, and it's something that every, you know, head of design leader has to be thinking about, and consistently communicating with their designers about.
And for like companies, I know some people here are maybe entrepreneurs and they are in small startups. What's the best way to focus on the most impactful things when we think about design, when we think about UX? If you are to start a new company right now, like a smart startup, like where should you focus on? And maybe Jessica, you do have your own, so maybe we can start with that.
Yeah, I mean, founders, the first question always, I advise in at multiple startups as well for designer hiring related. Their question is always, what kind of designers should I hire and where do I find them? And it's like, how do I manage them? Those are probably top three questions I get from non-designer founders. So first of all, it's like, what kind of designer do you hire? And then should I focus on UX and should I focus on branding? A lot of that has to do with the type of business that you're running. So if you're a startup that's branding, very much e-commerce related, branding comes so important. So you, maybe the first hire you want to make is somebody who's very visual and brand designer. Or the second thing is your SaaS company, software company, your product has to be something that sells, just, you know, so that means the product has to be amazing. UX has to be amazing. Then you probably want to hire a UX designer from the beginning. So those are the kind of things that determines what kind of designer you want to hire. Where do you find them? It's usually people say 2 or 3 out of college is usually like their designer for a brand designer is kind of a prime time. But I've seen kind of all over the spectrum. They're just the designers are all over the spectrum. So you just have to be open-minded for, you know, this amount of work experiences that people have, where they hang out. You just have to be open-minded about that. And then third thing is like, how do I then foster this design culture in my organization? That's a very complex problem. I probably wouldn't answer that right now because it will take another 15 minutes. But generally, it's just like you really have to know who you are as a business in order to kind of, you know, put your focus, either branding, marketing, or product. It really requires different type of designers. So just know who you are, what kind of business you're running, and then hire the right designer for it.
Oh, you should definitely hire the unicorn designer, right? So I agree with Jessica. I think depending on the business, you need to make a choice on what type of designer you want to hire. There are, however, designers who have strengths in, you know, more than one area, and who go deep in specific areas. So for example, at Pocket, we had, designers were very, very strong in visual design and branding and interaction design, but we also had designers who were really good at doing user research. So it was, we didn't hire a user researcher because we had that person, right? So that's one way in which you can kind of build up the team, is to hire designers that have different skill sets and who are good at lots of things, but really good at a few specific things. I think that, to me, the biggest question for startups usually is product market fit. And having a designer who has done that before, who has gone through the process of creating a product from zero to one and launching it, is usually helpful, because that designer has kind of experienced different, strategies or different frameworks even to figure out product market fit. And to me, that's the most difficult part of a startup today. Like, there are many ways to scale and to kind of put the word out there about the product. And I'm not, you know, discounting the branding and marketing aspects of it, because I think those are really important. But if you have a product that people, you know, try and then don't come back to, then, you know, you're kind of dead in the water, right? So that's why, to me, the strongest type of designer that I would prefer to hire at the very early stages of a startup is someone who has gone through product market fit, and then try to complement that person with other designers who have other skills to build a balanced team.
Okay, as we're talking about branding and marketing a little bit, I'll send a question back to Diego. I know that startups sometimes they will add branding and marketing under product design orgs, or vice versa. I've seen that too. Do you have any general advice or any thoughts on, like, when does this make sense? When does this not make sense?
I think at the beginning, they're so tied together, right? You can't tell the story of the product without you kind of having someone who really understands the product really well. And because most designers, a lot of designers start on the branding and marketing and visual side, so there is a natural fit there, right? I think when it starts to break down is when it gets too complex. So, when you begin to have lots of potential entry points to sell your product, when your product itself has so many different layers, right, that you need someone to be dedicated to telling that story. Now, I always prefer to have those two very tied together. Even at Facebook right now, even though we have a very large team, we work very closely with the role that we have as a product marketing manager, who is, you know, weekly on meetings with us and is seeing the evolution of the product and helping us craft that story over time. So it's not someone who just comes in when the product is ready to launch. So I like having those two tied together. I think it's really important from a storytelling perspective and consistency.
And Jessica, I know you worked at Opendoor, and I'm just curious about that. Like, did you have to wear the branding hat at some point?
Yeah,
you had marketing at some
course.
Point?
Man, it's like, usually head of designs who have a background in product design, usually it's very, very hard for us to manage brand design. These are two separate, completely two different types of designers. So there's some overlap, but they're brand design is creating the feeling, the soul of the startup, whereas the product designers are tend to be much more logical, like logics, problem solving, during user journey, basically. So these are, they think very differently and they solve problems very differently and they come in with the very, very different perspectives. And once it's in the marketing, which is a very short, the short-term task, they execute constantly. Whereas a product is much more longer. It's very just, the goals are much more longer term goals. So the process is also very different. So you're sitting in the middle of these two organizations as a head of design. And then you're trying to apply the kind of different process for both of them. And then the requests are coming in all over the place. So that's why it's really hard for design team to be in one unit. But like, as Diego said, it's really important to have this design team as a one unit in the beginning, just because the way that we learn so much from each other. And there's a lot of things that are also overlapping. So I can see that starting out, it probably starts as one unit, but as the startup grows, organizations keeps going through this tons of reorganizations. And then I've seen so many startups that tend to kind of, you know, break these two off and then go into marketing unit or product unit. So just because that the nature of the jobs are so different. But I've seen also cases where design team tends to just go as a one unit. That happens when the founders tends to be, has a back design background or some other things. There's a lot of factors involved in this, but that they both have pros and cons.
I think another common solution for branding is to have like an agency in the beginning and then migrate to have like an in-house professional for branding later. So I think that's another possibility, which I think for branding and for marketing, it might be easier in the beginning to outsource than product design, because a product designer will have to have constant contact with founders and researchers and engineers to build the designs that they design. So I don't know. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that I've worked in agencies before, in consulting groups and so on, and I think they can be wonderful enablers for your team to focus on a specific area. So, for example, if you want your team to focus on product and you don't have the bandwidth to do branding, having a great brand agency help you can be wonderful. Ideally, you build a long-term relationship with them too, so that they can come back and continue the good work over the years. And, you know, I've also seen agencies join companies because they have had such a good time working together. So if you find a strong partner that empowers you to then focus your work in areas that you need to, and you have a great relationship with them, I say power to you, keep rolling.
The first person you hire and the design side will help to define the design culture for a company. So when you're hiring, what are the things that you should care about? What are the traits you should look for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So diversity comes to mind. Diversity inclusion is one of these more interesting topics these days. Startups, for some reason, we can't, sure, we like to have a awesome culture from the beginning. We can't afford to also be picky because there's not a whole lot of options for us. I mean, from the outside, we look so unstable. We don't have a product market fit just yet. You know, it almost looks as if like it's for somebody, a designer, to take such a huge risk. It's a very rare occasion. So that's why you sometimes get what you get, you know, so, but you try to kind of manage that diversity inclusion over time. So you became more and more picky about things as a startup grows, and then you start to find, you know, found your product market fit. So in the beginning, though, I always actually tell the founding designers the most important one thing is just hire somebody that you like working with, that you are like excited to see every day. Because that is the most important. That's like the first kind of communication relationship thing that you're building within your team. And even though just there's two of you,
Once you got that chemistry right, the third one's going to be a little bit easier. Fourth one's going to be a little bit easier. And then you can be more creative, or just be more focused more on the diversity and inclusion. Hire somebody that's, much more different than you are, something like that. But first and foremost, in the beginning, always hire people that you enjoy working with.
Yeah. I mean, my tip would be more like, everybody looks for the hard skills, right? Obviously, if you want to hire a first designer, you want them to be great, at helping you build a product. So you're looking at, their strengths in visual design, interaction design, and storytelling, and so on, which I think are obviously super important. But I think people tend to forget the EQ side. So how is it that this person deals with challenging situations? Because, that's basically every day in startups, right? How is it that this person responds when, they don't get their way, right? In other words, like, how well do they work with other people, and how are they able to, respond when things don't go as expected for them? I think that those things are really important. The other piece is what's their level of empathy? And empathy here is really important, both towards the people who you will be serving with the product you're creating, but also with the teammates, right? With the engineering team and the product team and the new designers that will come in later, right? So I think that's a piece that I see a lot of founders not focus on. And then they end up having to, rehire, if you will, someone who has more of those skills.
Definitely empathy and EQ matters a lot when you're hiring. I'm curious about, we are all designers and we kind of know what hard skills are and what are the things we should look up for. Let's say if you're not a designer, you don't know what the most important hard skills are. Like, what tip would you give to someone who is not a designer and trying to hire a designer, like the first designer?
Good luck. I'm just kidding. I would say, look for the history, and that's what I always go back to, is like, what is it that they have done in the past? And sometimes, I've heard people, I've hired people who, for example, were fresh out of college and didn't technically have work experience. They hadn't had a real job per se, but they had done really good work, by redesigning the website at a local nonprofit, or they had done really good work in an internship, right? So you kind of experience really doesn't have to be super extensive, right? But it needs to be something that gives you that sense of trust that this person can handle, what we will be asking them to do. And then from a hard skills perspective, if you're not a designer, it might be good to, ask a friend who is a designer to take a look at their portfolio and to give you feedback as well, maybe even participate in the interviewing process.
That's a good tip. And I'm actually doing that for Claire, the startup, to hire their first designers, because they had, they're like, oh, I have no idea, Koji, how do I hire a designer? So can you help us? I think it's a good idea. Jessica, do you have any additional tips for that?
No. It's so funny. I thought I got the hiring science down, but sometimes things just are very surprising. New grads can be so good. It's anybody, even if they're senior, sometimes they don't turn out great. It's like, it's all over because you're hiring one designer for the entire organization, there's only one role. It's a hit or miss very quickly. It's like, you almost know right away within a month, it's going to be a good fit or not. Even if you wait around, the time is super valuable for a startup. So lots of people, even designers myself, we make hiring mistakes, lots of people. So don't be too hard on yourself, because the designers are really, really hard to get it right the first time.
And we talk a little bit about inclusion, diversity, equity, belonging. And I know all of these topics are very, important, and this could have, there have been discuss it more in this last few years. How do we ensure that when your team is growing, you have to hire very quickly? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because like we tend to attract our own kind of people with a similar interest, people with a similar background. It's just humans are naturally, unconsciously drawn to the people who are somewhat alike because we find comfort in them. And that's just a natural thing that humans do. So kind of pushing it a little bit against it and be completely mindful of what your preferences are, it's already like a step forward. So I say I'm an Asian girl, like, you know, with the background of engineering background. So the people I tend to kind of look at resume could be those like Asian girls with an engineering background because I find comfort. I know where like the kind of path that they took is probably the kind of path that I took. So there's some kind of familiarity and comfort in it, knowing this. So that's why I kind of push myself like, and no, this time I'm going to hire somebody slightly different. That's when you're kind of taking a little more risk and chances. So that's the kind of thing that leaders in design organization need to have, that being completely mindful about what your preferences are natural, and you have to be completely honest and open about it in order to change.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And as the company, when the company is small, you can't be picky kind of thing, right? Because as Jessica mentioned earlier, it's tougher to recruit when the company is small. As the company grows though, using the diverse slate approach is one effective way that I've seen to always increase diversity on the team. If you hire, a strong designer from school A, it's likely that the next time you go look for a strong designer, you're going to go to school A again, even though school B and C and D might have great designers as well, right? So forcing yourself to look outside the box and to think outside the box a little bit is important. And the diverse slate approach kind of encourages you to do that, right? So that's why I think it can be really effective. The most important part for me, though, is that you're mindful of the diversity on your team and you're mindful of people coming in, right? How do you create a sense of belonging for someone who's different, even though they may be the only different person, which is common in startups, right? So I think that sense of belonging and emphasizing that from the beginning is extremely important.
To me, what I've seen working is hiring managers and leaders in the beginning that are, diverse as much as you can, because they will bring, as Jessica said, like more people within their groups. And then you, in the end of the day, if you have diverse leaders, then you will end up with diverse teams. But of course, like you have to do this exercise every now and then, make sure that you're getting a real set of people who represents like whatever you are. And here, when we talk about US, for instance, there's a lot of Latinx people, but then when you go to tech industry, there's not many Latinos, not many Latinas. So I think it's a very important thing to keep in mind. All right, so now we're getting close to the end, and I wanna send some reminders, and I'll give you some time for all of you if you have any reminders, if you want to share something. For me, I do have a podcast at cellsandpixels.com that I started. I had a conversation with Jessica there, a couple of more people. I didn't have one with Diego yet, but I'll probably have in the future. And yeah, take a look. There's a cool conversations there with Joe Maeda, Jess James Garrett, and I started that during the pandemic. It's been very cool to just like connect with people that maybe I wouldn't have even a chance to connect at work. And it's a kind of a replacement for me for those Halloween conversations that I love to have when we're back in office. Other than that, actually, I'm between jobs right now. I didn't say that, but I am living Lyft and I'm joining Twitter very soon. So you all know.
Wow.
Thank you. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I'll be on Diego's competition. Anyways.
I have lots of friends on that team, and they're building a great team there. So I'm happy for you and happy for them that they got you. They're lucky to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited.
We are hiring at Facebook too. So if you're a designer and you're interested in looking, you can go to facebook.com/careers. And we're hiring all sorts of designers. The AR VR team specifically is growing a lot. So yeah, please do take a look at that. And if you want to connect, Twitter, LinkedIn, I'm Diego Mendez. You can find me there.
So if you're founders watching this, if you have any questions about hiring designers or managing designers or growing design organization within your companies, you can always find me on LinkedIn and send me a message or email me. My email is jessica@playbook.com. So feel free to ask me questions. Yes. So I am running a startup that's, you know, designed for designers and for design files, managing design files really well. So check out us at playbook.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks everyone who joined us.
My name is Koji, and this is Cells and Pixels. Thanks for listening.